The keystrokes of over 1 billion users are at risk of being decrypted due to critical vulnerabilities found in popular Chinese Pinyin keyboard apps, exposing sensitive information to potential surveillance. How can users protect themselves from these vulnerabilities and prevent their data from being intercepted by network eavesdroppers? Ring customers that were affected by a privacy breach of trust are eligible to receive part of $5.6 million in refunds after private video feeds were accessed without their consent, which prompted the Federal Trade Commission to take action. And global security saw a significant improvement in 2023, with organizations detecting intrusions in a median of 10 days, which is down from 16 in 2022. What do these key trends mean, and how can organizations enhance their threat hunting to ensure this number continues to go down in the face of rising security threats? All right, so according to Citizen Lab, attackers are able to exploit the digital keyboard apps of 8 out of 9 Pinyin keyboard vendors to completely reveal the contents of users' keystrokes. The vendors that were inspected are Baidu, Honor, Huawei, iFlytek, Oppo, Samsung, Tencent, Vivo, and Xiaomi, which I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. And most of the vulnerable apps can be exploited by a network eavesdropper entirely passively. Citizen Lab estimates that up to 1 billion users could be vulnerable to this type of attack. And given the ease with which these vulnerabilities may have been discovered, and that attacker groups have previously exploited similar vulnerabilities in Chinese apps for surveillance, it's definitely possible that users' keystrokes could have also been under mass surveillance. These issues have been reported to the vendors, and most of them took it seriously by applying patches to the apps. But some of the keyboard apps do still remain vulnerable. And so check out the link by Citizen Lab in our show notes to determine which specific keyboard apps are vulnerable. And the article also provides a lot of recommendations for security researchers, to app store operators, all the way down to just regular users. And we've seen previous vulnerabilities in the past with these makes and models of keyboards. Most of the recommendations involve getting a new keyboard ecosystem. And it's crazy. I didn't even know this was a thing. I use a completely analog keyboard, no digital whatsoever. But apparently some apps have cloud-based services that help sync the keyboard to your computer. Major recommendation, don't enable those services. Whatever they offer, it just makes it so easy for attackers to log your keystrokes. And if you think about what you type on your computer, it's often very sensitive information. If attackers could get their hands on everything you typed, they'd know a lot, whether it's your chat history or your passwords or your credit card numbers, social security number, pretty much everything gets touched by your keyboard. Now, I am going to take this opportunity to pitch password managers, because password managers are not vulnerable to keystroke attacks due to the fact that you just copy-paste your password from the password manager into the field. Now, if you do have to type in your password to your password manager, it is vulnerable there, but you're greatly reducing the attack surface by using a password manager. So good news for Ring camera users whose cameras were accessed without their consent. The Federal Trade Commission is distributing $5.6 million in refunds to these Ring users. So if your video feed was accessed without your consent by Amazon employees or contractors, or due to hacked accounts, you might be eligible for one of these refunds. This settlement stems from a complaint in May of 2023 highlighting Ring's lack of robust security measures to safeguard devices from unauthorized access. Ring is one of the biggest providers of cameras. They're one of the most well-known names. They were one of the first on the market, and in fact, they got acquired by Amazon. But they only provide cloud-connected cameras, which in the security industry we don't love, because there's a host of vulnerabilities, and they're often just treated like regular IoT devices. And what we mean by that is that they're not built for security. Even though a camera is literally a security device, the security of that camera is not as well maintained as you think it should be. The life cycle of these cameras can be pretty short, which means that as security vulnerabilities arise, they might not have the R&D teams to patch the security vulnerabilities or push updates in a timely manner, and they'll often just stop working on cameras after a certain amount of time. But if you're more concerned with physical security than your own privacy, It's a great option. It's really easy to throw one up, connect it to your Wi-Fi, and have access to visibility of your home while you're away. The FTC alleged that Ring granted extensive access to employees and third-party contractors, which could have potentially compromised customer privacy. Ring also delayed implementation of basic security measures like multi-factor authentication until 2019. So, in response to these things, the FTC is sending payments via PayPal to over 117,000 impacted Ring customers as part of the settlement. And customers are required to redeem the funds within 30 days. Now, I don't love that the FTC is using PayPal. That's kind of iffy to me. PayPal's security has always been kind of wonky. Plus, it's often used by scammers to try to get money out of people. So hopefully you can use the lessons learned on this podcast to help prevent scams. But anytime there's a mass distribution of funds, you're going to see scams. Check the story in our show notes for more specifics on how to redeem these funds and make sure you're vigilant before clicking any PayPal links. And our final story comes from some research by the global security firm Mandiant and was reported in MTrends 2024, but essentially the global dwell time for attackers is down to 10 days in 2023 from 16 days in 2022. So that's a decrease of what, 40 to 50%? That's pretty huge. This data is based on Mandiant's consulting investigations of targeted attack activity conducted between January 1st, 2023 and December 31st of 2023. This research also shows that there's been a marked improvement in internal detection, where 46% of incidents were detected in 2023, which is up from 37% in 2022. And there are some nuances to this data, of course. This isn't covering every cybersecurity firm. This is only Mandiant's data, but it is an indicator that defense practices and procedures and technologies are improving, which is the little dopamine hit that us defenders need to continue on day to day, right? It's pretty hard to measure the success of a security program because at its best, nothing happens. If you're a successful defender, attackers don't get in, and you don't really get much reward. So we turn to these kinds of numbers to help encourage us to keep going and keep defending and continue to chip away at the attack surfaces of all the customers and all the enterprises out there. And like I had mentioned, defense is very hard. The blue side of things isn't very rewarding, but also attackers are constantly evolving and constantly changing their tactics. And the only way that defenders see it is one, if they find attackers, so if their threat hunting is up to snuff, and two, if they have the resources to evaluate it. Which is why information sharing is so important, why we have to report things to the 3-4-letter organizations to help spread the knowledge quickly, because attackers are going to keep changing their tactics, and in order to catch them, defenders are also going to have to change their detection mechanisms. Now, despite this win, defenders have to stay very vigilant. We can't take our foot off the gas. The amount of zero-day exploits is on the rise, which is driven by ransomware groups, state-sponsored exploitation, and commercially available exploit kits. There's a lot of money on the attacker side, and Red Hat individuals are realizing this, and they're commercializing tools that they use to help attack, which essentially means that anybody can go in and purchase a tool, much like you and I would go buy an antivirus software and install it. Attackers can go buy software to help make breaking into networks much easier. We've also seen the introduction of large language models like OpenAI, which is a completely new player in the game, helping and hurting both attackers and defenders. But one thing it's really good at is helping the development of new tools, as well as analyzing a lot of data really quick. Now, I can't quite speak to how restricted attackers are on their use of large language models, but I can speak to the fact that defenders are often restricted by corporations. They don't want to allow their employees to use OpenAI or large language models in the presence of customer data, proprietary data, etc. So that will be interesting to see how it plays out, because I doubt attackers have those same restrictions. Now, the restrictions are good. We love the restrictions. We don't want to be leaking customer data. We don't want to be leaking proprietary information through the vector of ChatGPT or OpenAI or a large language model. But it's just worth noting that if attackers don't have the same restrictions, they might advance a little quicker with the aid of these large language models. So all that to say is we saw some pretty good improvements from 2022 to 2023, and we'll be interested to see how they develop into 2024.
This has been the Daily Decrypt. If you found your key to unlocking the digital domain, show your support with a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It truly helps us stand at the frontier of cyber news. Don't forget to connect on Instagram or catch our episodes on YouTube. Until next time, keep your data safe and your curiosity alive.